Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome, Bruchim Haboim. Delighted to welcome all of you and begin this evening. Special thank you to our distinguished guests, Rav Eli Nosson Silberberg, who is joining us, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Or Eliyahu, the Chabad Nesifta here in Chicago, Rav Ephraim Twersky, Rav of Kahal Hasidim in West Rogers Park, to Anoshim Chashuvim, who can bring not just an intellectual perspective, but also a personal life experience to tonight's conversation. My job tonight is simply to be a facilitator, which is a great schus for me to be with these special individuals, great leaders of our community. I also want to give a special thank you to my dear chaver, Rabbi Meir Moskowitz, who helped put together this evening. Our community in the greater Chicago community sense is blessed to have so many important mostos and perspectives and approaches to Yadus and to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And as part of our YU Torah Mitzion Kolel orbit, we've had the opportunity and the privilege of developing partnerships and connections with many different personalities in the community. I've had that privilege personally, and we've had that as a kolel. And tonight, we are delighted to bring to our community a specific avenue in Avodas Hashem, a specific aspect of our lives to connect us to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that is the avenue of Chassidus. And we're going to focus tonight by inviting Rabbi Silberberg and Rabbi Twersky to begin with individual remarks, followed by a few questions which they'll each respond to. But even though tonight we're going to focus primarily on something practical, perhaps for those of us who are not as familiar with those who are growing and thinking about the world of Chassidus, to consider why the world of Chassidus is important, why this aspect, this avenue in Avodas Hashem is something that we should think about. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam give us this gift of the world of Chassidus? Recently, I was privileged to attend, thank God we have the opportunity to be back for in-person weddings. So I was privileged to attend a beautiful wedding here in the Chicagoland area at the Chicago Botanic Gardens. So I drove up to this wedding. I drove up to, for those who know, off the highway, you make the turn, you turn into the Botanic Gardens, you pass the little guard booth, and there's a sign, wedding this way. So I drive down the path all the way around, drop my car at the valet, and I go inside. I follow the you know, the signs that says so-and-so and so-and-so wedding with the arrow. You go inside, you sit down, beautiful badekin, fantastic, magnificent chuppah, and then the dancing. So imagine you were joining me at this wedding, and you were going to come to this wedding, and you had told them you were just going to come for the dancing. And they told you, don't worry, the chassan said, I'd love you to be there. Please come at 9:45. That's when we're going to have the simchas chassan v'kal. That's when we're going to have dancing. You don't have to be there for the chuppah, the shmor. Just come for the dancing. So you come with me. We get dressed up. We have our suits, our wedding finery. We're ready to go. We drive. We get off at the exit, Lake Cook. We get into the little, you know, that little road that takes us around. We don't bother with valet. We're so excited. We're so focused. We get out of the car. We run into the hall. We start dancing like crazy right in that beautiful center. And we open our eyes and we say to ourselves, there's no chassan. There's no kala. There's no wedding. And you look, it's a little bit strange. You're going through all the beautiful motions, all the important things, but there's no wedding. You got the wrong day. You went Monday night. It was Sunday night. The world of Chassidus encourages us, invites us, and inspires us to take a step back and say, wait a second. We're doing all the motions. We're going through all the things. We're dancing. We're going. We're saying. The question is, wait a second. Is there a chassan here? Is there a kala here? Do we have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam through all the things that we're doing? And so the opportunity to step back and make sure there's actually a chassan at this wedding, there's actually a kala at this wedding, we're actually engaging with the Ribbono Shel Olam, this is one of the great gifts of Chassidus. And understanding that Chassidus is part of a broader context, a broader constellation of approaches to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Yiddishkeit, and these approaches are complementary. They're not conflicting. Imagine you asked a chef to prepare a dish and you gave them a list of ingredients. And then you gave another chef the same list of ingredients and the same goal to prepare that dish, but you didn't tell either chef how much to put in of each one. So it's not going to come out exactly the same. It might be the exact same ingredient list, but it won't be the same. That's why Coca-Cola, they'll tell you exactly what's in Coke, but they don't tell you how much. So different drachim and avodas Hashem have emphasized different aspects of Yiddishkeit. They're all shared in common, but it's just a slightly different emphasis. Sometimes it's a different language. You know, the alphabet can be used to compose Shakespeare and Lahavdil, Harry Potter. So you're using the same English characters, but you have totally different stories. Sometimes you have different flavors. Somebody asks you, can you tell me about Judaism? It's like going to the supermarket and saying, where's the barbecue sauce? You go to the aisle, you see how many barbecue sauces there are. There's Hawaiian barbecue sauce. There's chili barbecue. There's a million. It's not one flavor. So the beauty that we have tonight is for many of us who are not necessarily exposed to this aspect of our Yiddishkeit is to embrace and open our hearts to something that is so nourishing, that is so deep and impactful in our lives and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That when we come to davening, when we come to that conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that we're talking with someone, we're actually talking to someone. That when it comes to Limud HaTorah, that we're learning together with something, with someone. We're learning something with the Ribbono Shel Olam. When it comes to Emuna, having a relationship that is a bedrock, the foundation of our entire Yiddishkeit, it is one that is in relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So without any further delay, I'm going to invite and welcome Rabbi Silberberg to begin with an introductory comment, followed by Rav Tversky. Bruchim Abayim, welcome, and thank you so much for joining Rav Elinason Silberberg Shlita.
Yesher Koyach, Rabbi Brand, for really putting together this tremendous event and tremendous opportunity, together with all those who were involved in putting it together. As we know, we're in the three-week period between Shiva Sebet Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, Bein HaMitzorim, the time when we mourn more than throughout the year the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And we know what the Gemara tells us, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, first and foremost, because of Sinas Chinam, because of baseless hatred, a lack of Achdus Yisrael, of oneness of Klal Yisrael. So there's no greater thing that we can do to hasten the rebuilding of the third Beis HaMikdash than working on our Achdus Yisrael, bringing together our communities, the beautiful communities of Chicago, and ultimately bringing together all communities. And there's no way to bring us together better than Limud HaTorah, of course, and Torah ideas and Torah thoughts, and thoughts of Chassidus, which is the nature of this evening. Of course, we have, I think, 1 hour here for this evening to discuss a number of topics. So at the very best, we can just hope to get a little taste of a number of concepts, and with the hope that, like a taste, is there to whet our appetites, to want more and to learn more and to grow more, and learning all areas of Torah, and specifically in the areas of Chassidus, which is the nature, again, of this evening. The flyer that I saw, very beautifully, the big words that jumped out at me were elevating the ordinary, and how Torah and mitzvahs and Kedusha is supposed to elevate the ordinary parts of our life, the day in, the day out, the majority of what we do every day. As soon as I saw that, there's a certain Torah idea that came into my mind that I wanted to share, and that will be my opener over here. We have in the Chumash, famously, Yaakov Avinu, the third of the Ovis, the third of our forefathers, is on the way down to Choram. He's leaving his father Yitzchak, he's leaving Eretz Yisrael, Be'er Sheva, and he's going to a place that's a very, very lowly place, a very difficult place for a Yid, for a Tzaddik to be. And on the way, he famously goes to see Har HaMiriah, Temple Mount, Har HaBayis, and there he sleeps and he has the dream of the ladder. And after the dream, he gets up and he says a tefillah, a very famous and beautiful tefillah. And he says, Im yia alakimi modi, if Hashem will be with me, yishmarani b'derech hazeh asher anochi hoylech. Hashem will guard me in this way that I'm going. Nasan li lechem lech, ilo beged lilboish. He'll give me food, he'll give me clothing. V'shafti b'sholem el beis avi, I'll return in peace to my father's home. V'hoya Hashem li lelokim, then Hashem will be my God. The stone that I've erected as a matzeva, as an altar, will be a house for Hashem. That's Yaakov Avinu's tefillah. And on a very simple level, it sounds like he's bargaining with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you'll take care of me, if you'll watch me, if you'll give me food, if you'll give me clothing, then you'll be my Hashem. And then I'll make for you a house for Hashem. And of course, on a simple level, that's so hard to understand. Yaakov Avinu, the greatest of tzaddikim, the greatest of our avos, is bargaining with Hashem. If you'll take care of me, you'll be my Hashem. Obviously, there has to be greater depth to this. And the Arachayim HaKadosh already says in Chumash that this is much more than Yaakov Avinu's tefillah. It's really the tefillah of every neshama. Yaakov Avinu going down from Eretz Yisrael to Haran represents the neshama of each and every one of us coming down into this world from its place of holiness, the Kisei HaBnit, the Kisei HaKavid of Hashem Yisbarach, coming into this world. And the neshama is davening. And all of our neshama is davening. And they daven and they ask Hashem. And they say the following. They say, Yimye Hashem Elokim Yimadi. The first thing is we ask for Sayaita Deshmaya. We know everything we do, physically, spiritually, it all starts with help from Hashem. So the neshama davens, Yimye Hashem will be with me. Ushmarani Baderach Hazeh Asher Anochi Haleich, to guard me from the evils of this world. The Averis, the things that are forbidden, we ask for that extra help to be guarded. V'nasan li lechem lechoy lubegit lilbesh. We ask for food and clothing. What are food and clothing? Food is Torah. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Teiroska b'seich meyoy, that your Torah is within me, in my innards, just like food we take in and we eat, it becomes part of us, Torah becomes part of us. So the Neshama says, I'm asking for Hashem to guard me. I shouldn't do Averis in this world. I should learn Torah. Begin Lilbesh, the garments are the mitzvahs that we garb ourselves with, we surround ourselves with. So the Neshama has asked for guard, for help, not to do Averis, learn Torah, do mitzvahs. But then he adds, V'shafti b'sholim el beis avi, to bring sholim, to bring peace. What are we talking about? What's the neshama talking about when it's asking for peace after Torah and after mitzvahs? The Svarim HaKadoshim say peace is amongst the peace you make with opposites, and the opposites is the two parts of our life: the kedusha, the times that we're learning Torah, the times we're doing mitzvahs, we're davening, and then there's the mundane, the physical, the material, what we're involved with most of our days, the going to work, the socializing, the eating, the sleeping, the exercising, the vacationing, all the regular, the mundane activities in which we do that non-Jews do as well, and in many cases, animals do as well. To have shulim means to create a cohesiveness, to understand that kedusha is not just for shul, and kedusha is not just for the times that one is learning Torah, but that every aspect of a person's life and every behavior and everything we're involved with is all part of one big avodas Hashem. As we say in Pirkei Avos, kol ma'asecha l'shem shamayim, or as the pasuk says, chol derechecha de'eyu, in all of our ways, we're meant to see Hashem. In everything that we do, we're meant to understand how all of that is part of the general mission of this neshama in this world. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu finishes, he says, when we do this, v'hoya Hashem li l'elokim, Hashem will be, I'll be truly connected to Hashem. But not only that, ha'evin hazayis, even the stones, even the most physical part of this world and of my life, will be bayis l'elokim, will be a house for Hashem. My home, my workplace, my office, wherever I am, can be a bayis l'Hashem by tapping into that and recognizing that it's all about, and going back again to the title of this evening, elevating the ordinary, recognizing and understanding that we're not meant to be holy for parts of our day. And not only parts of our day are part of our avodas Hashem, but as you say, ano avdo dekud shabrichu, in everything we do, to bring that kedusha, bring that chayis of holiness into every aspect of what we do every day.
Yashar koach, thank you, Rabbi Silverberg. Bechava gadol. Introductory remarks, Rav Twersky.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Brand, for this tremendous opportunity, and thank you for everyone who has been involved in organizing this. It's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, and as Rabbi Silverberg said, I'm just reiterating, in the 3 weeks, I think that this is tremendous that we're able to come together with such an Agdus and do our part in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Yashar koach, Rabbi Silverberg, for your insights. Just like Rabbi Silverberg, the words on the flyer to elevate the ordinary evoked this concept of elevating the ordinary is definitely a topic that is spoken about in the Chassidish text. There's a very known slogan by Chassidim, which goes, it's in Yiddish, the hachana to the mitzvah is gerasa vi the mitzvah, which means that preparation for a mitzvah is even greater than the mitzvah itself. This is a slogan that has brought about much critic from the anti-Hasidim. How can you possibly say that the preparation for a mitzvah is greater than the mitzvah? We know that, you know, preparation is very important, and Hasidim placed a tremendous emphasis on preparation. But to say that it's greater than the mitzvah, how's that possible? The Sfas brings proof that the preparation to the mitzvah is greater than the mitzvah. He brings proof from the mitzvah of Hatovas HaNeiris. There is a mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdash with an avodah of cleaning out the lamps of the menorah so that when the Kohen lights it, when the Kohen fills it with oil, it should be a clean lamps. The avodah, the halacha is that the avodah, the service of cleaning out the lamps, can only be done by a Kohen. The igniting, the kindling of the lamps itself can be done by a non-Kohen as well. So the Sfas Emes says, you see that the preparation to the mitzvah is greater than the mitzvah, because the cleansing of the lamps is only a preparation to the kindling, and that requires a Kohen. And it always bothered me. I don't understand the right. Because the cleansing of the lamps itself is an avodah. It's not just a preparation. The cleansing of the lamps, hatovas haneiros, is an avodah. So what is this what I'm talking about? What's he saying? One more question before I just want to give you an idea I think it's a very, very fundamental idea. But one more question. The Gemara in Kedushin of Mem on Amud Beis, the Gemara asks a question. Talmud Gadol or Ma'aseh Gadol? What is greater, learning Torah or actually performing the mitzvah? So the Gemara says that this is a dispute between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. And the Gemara says that they finally voted on it in the Beis Medrash, and they came to the conclusion, Talmud Gadol, learning is greater. Why? Shemevi lidei ma'aseh, because it brings one to act. So, learning is greater. What's the Gemara saying? If you're telling me that learning is only greater because it brings you to act, what you're saying is that action is greater. If that's the whole purpose of learning, is so that I should be able to act, then acting is obviously greater. How does the Gemara conclude that learning is greater? And I believe this could all be understood with another Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes on Shavuos brings from the Baal Shem Tov that the Baal Shem Tov said that there is no such thing as hachana. That's what Baal Shem Tov said. There's no such thing as preparation. Why? Said the Baal Shem Tov. Because preparation means that a yid is doing something for the sake of a mitzvah. I'm eating in order to have kayach to serve Hashem. So says the Baal Shem Tov, then your eating is not a preparation. Your eating is an avodah. Your eating is an avodah itself. If I go to sleep and I'm going to sleep in order that I should be well rested in order to serve Hashem, is that a preparation to service of Hashem? Says the Baal Shem Tov, no, that's not a preparation. You're sleeping as an avodah. You're serving the Rebbeinu Shlomo by sleeping. And so on and so forth. Everything that a yid does when we go to work, when just basically everything in a yid's day, as long as all we need to have is a thought, I'm doing this in order to be able to serve Hashem. I'm working in order to be able to support my family so that we should be able to serve Hashem with parchoves hadas, with a frame of mind that is that allows for serving the Divine Shalom, that I should give everything, our eating, our drinking, our sleeping, our working, everything falls into that category. And what the Baal Shem Tov is teaching us, that it's not preparation. We're not just preparing. This is an Avodah itself. So, of course, the hachana to the mitzvah is greater than the mitzvah, because the hachana to the mitzvah is a mitzvah also. And besides that, there's also preparation for a mitzvah. So, whereas the mitzvah itself is only a mitzvah. So the hachana to the mitzvah, besides being a mitzvah itself, is also a preparation to another mitzvah that transcends a mitzvah, which is only a mitzvah. It's not a preparation for another mitzvah. And that's exactly what Hatovas Aneiros is. The proof of the Sfas Emes is gvaldik. Yes, Hatovas Aneiros is itself an avoida, but it's also a preparation for another avoida. And that's why it can only be done by a kohen. It's much greater than the kindling of the lamps. And that's why the Gemara concludes that learning, Talmud Gadol, learning is greater than Maisin. Because learning is an avodah itself. Besides learning, but also besides learning, you're also preparing for a Maisin. So it's greater than the Maisin, which is only a Maisin. It's not a preparation. The main thing we learn from here, and I conclude with this, my introductory remarks, is that we have to live our day with a recognition, with an awareness that everything we do is an avodah. We're able, Ashreinu Matoy Chalkeinu, how fortunate we are. We're able to serve the Melech Malchei Amlochim every moment of our day. And as Rabbi Silverberg said, it's not, the Rabbi Shalom is not just for the shul, and it's not just while we're downing and performing mitzvahs. We're actually serving him every moment. Just think. All we got to do is think and have in mind, Ashreinu, how fortunate I am. I'm able to eat and serve the Rabbi Shalom, serve the Melech Malchim. Yeshikaya.
Thank you, Rabbi Twersky. Maybe we'll segue and you'll tackle the first topic first for a couple of moments. One of the mitzvos, tmidios, that we have every day is the mitzvah of Emunah. How would you share with us just a kutzo shel yud of a perspective on Emunah through the lens of Chassidus? Maybe Rabbi Twersky, you'll start, and then Rabbi Silverberg.
So, Emunah is something that we find in the Sidra Chassidus is a Yerusha Lanu Me'avi saying. Emunah is something that every Yid has. The can't remember which one of the Reb Tzadik says that if you find a Yid that doesn't have Emunah, if a Yid doesn't have faith in the Rebbeinu Shlom, it's not that he doesn't have Emunah. Every Yid has Emunah. He just doesn't have Emunah that he has Emunah. He just doesn't believe that he believes. But every Yid believes. It's Yerusha. It's natural for every Yid. It might be covered, that Emunah, that Nekuda of Emunah that we have, that point of Emunah that we have, might be covered over with a lot of garbage and a lot of foreign philosophy that might have gotten into our heads. But if we'd be able to move that all away, our Nekuda HaEmes, the Nekuda of Emunah of a Yid, is there. And this is why the Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us that we find three types of Emunah. There's Emunah's Hamayach. There's Emunah in the head, which, if you ask most from Jews, do you believe that there's a creator? Do you believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Meloi Chol Ha'aretz Kevodo, that his glory fills all the world, that he watches every act and every thought and every word that comes out of your mouth? Most people will say, most from Jews will say yes. That's amuna samayach. We believe it in our head. Now, do our actions reflect that amuna? Not necessarily. Unfortunately, we act in ways that doesn't seem to be in sync with the idea that Hashem is watching. Somebody, what's missing is the emunas halev. That's what the Sfarim call it. Emunas halev is a emuna that has penetrated the heart as well, and that would subdue any other type of any type of desire or temptation. That emuna, if that emuna would penetrate to our heart as well. But the eitzah of the practical tactic to get emuna from our head to our heart is a concept that is brought in the Slonim Asfarim, is hemanti ki adab. Hemanti ki adab, David HaMelech says, I believe because I talk about it. The more we talk about emuna, the more emuna filters into our heart. Talking about emuna means to say Baruch Hashem, and to say Ezra Hashem, and to say Emir Hashem, and to say Hashem will help, and to say when things happen, whether we think we believe it or we think we don't believe it. It doesn't matter. Say Gamzu L'Toyva. Say Kol Ma'ada Avad Rachman L'Tabav. Say whatever Hashem is good, does is good. You don't feel like you believe it, it doesn't matter, because you do believe it. It's not false. You do believe that. Deep down, every Yid has a Muna Pshuta. We all have a Muna Pshuta. And therefore, there's nothing wrong with faking it until you make it. Say it. Talk about it. Talk about a Muna. Tell your children that there's a Rebbeinu Shleilim and Hashem loves us, and Hashem only wants what's best for us, and we don't understand, because we have small minds, that the Rebbeinu Shleilim is so much greater than anything we can possibly comprehend. The more we talk about it, the more it goes into our heart, the more it goes into our children's heart. And they'll grow up to be maminim not only in their mayach, but maminim in their lev.
Yashikoach, Rabbi Silverberg?
Yes, Yashikoach, Rabbi Tversky, beautiful words about Amuna. And let me continue on that topic. So firstly, as Rabbi Tversky just said, we believe that every yid is a maimim. We're called maminim b'nei maminim. It's in our neshama. It's there. It's part of our neshama. It's part of our birthright. We're maminim. One of the earliest lessons that I got as a child, it was in 1975, and my parents, Zolzan Gezut and Stark, were sent out as shluchim of the Lubavitcher Rebbe to West Bloomfield, Michigan. And they went to a community, to a city where there wasn't one Shomer Shabbos, not one Shomer Shabbos, not one, nothing, mamish nothing. And that's where I grew up. That's where I grew up. And I remember going along with my father, knocking on doors to get an eighth for a minyan, a ninth for a minyan, and a tenth for a minyan. Baruch Hashem today, 45 years later, it's a big shul and hundreds of Bali Tshuva. But a vivid memory when I couldn't have been more than 7 or 8 years old. And my father knocks on the door and he says, Michael, we need you for a tenth for the minyan. And Michael says, Rabbi, I told you already, I don't believe in God. My father looks at him and says, Michael, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I believe that you do believe in God. And Michael came. He didn't always come, but he came sometimes. But there's no question that as Yidden, and especially as explained in the Sifrei Chassidus, all of us are maminim b'nei maminim. But yet, and also as Rabbi Tversky pointed out, that emunah sometimes can remain somewhat disconnected from our behaviors. The Gemara famously talks about the ganav. The ganva pumach tarter rachmana karya. There was a thief. The thief, he already dug a tunnel in order to make a theft, and he stopped for a quick tefillah to Hashem for success that he should succeed. And the Sfarim bring out the obvious paradox here. He obviously believes in Hashem. He davened to him, but it's so disconnected from his action that he's davening for success in something that he knows Hashem is not for stealing. So how do we bring it down? And how do we bring it in? So Rabbi Tversky talked about dibur, the power of speech, hamamti ki adaber, which is definitely one way of bringing it in. But there's another idea that I'd like to highlight. And that is when we learn it and we understand it. When we learn, when we spend time every day, or as much as possible, learning about a Kodesh Baruch Hu and learning about our Emunah, bringing it into our Seichel, bringing it into our understanding. Emunah, in the words of Chassidus, remains somewhat makif, which is transcendent. It's not something I fully can, so to speak, call my own. I can't bite into it because I believe it. But what am I believing? When I learn something, I bring that belief into my seichel, into my understanding. It's something that becomes mine. There's a very powerful, beautiful vart of the Shalach HaKadosh where he says on the Shira, in the Shira Sayyam, we say, Ze keli va'anvehu eleke ovi va'remim menhu. Zekeli, this is my God, Van Vehu, I beautify him. Elkeovi, he's the God of my fathers, Vari Mimenu, I exalt him. And the Shalach HaKadosh says, he says, we relate to Hashem in two ways. In a way of Zekeli and Elkeovi. Elkeovi means it's the Emunah that's passed down from my parents and my grandparents, my great grandparents, till Avram Avinu, who's called Rosh Lamaminu. That's passed a 3-year-old child. Also says Hashem Echad, because it's our birthright, it's in our neshama. So that's Elikei Avi. But when it's Elikei Avi, when it's only the God of my fathers that was passed down from my father, my Zayda, my elder Zayda, my elder Baba, then it's Ari Mimenu, it's exalted. It's somewhat distant. It's exalted from me. Zekeli, when it becomes mine, it's not just mine because I yarshened it, because it's my birthright, because I have an neshama given to me by birth, but it's something I invest the time and effort to learn and understand. And that's why we have today the explosion of the Sifrei Chassidus, where a person can spend time and learning more about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, more about the Bria, and more about, as much as we can, of course, as much as we learn, there's always going to be beyond our seichel. HaChekir Lekatimsa, Kiloi Machshavei Machshavei Seichem, we can learn from now until our next life, and there's still going to be more to understand, and there's going to be that which is going to be above our understanding. But yet, the more we learn, the more we make it Zekeli. Says the Shalah, when it's Zekeli, then Va'anvehu, he darshans the word Anvehu, is Anivahu. Him and me become one. It's one word. Of course, the Pashup Shat Anvehu is to beautify. The Shalah types Anivahu become unified. When it's Zekeli, when I take it the additional step out of Elikei Avi, the Emunah that was passed down, but I spend the time to learn and think and contemplate what we call Hisboinenus, to take the time and effort to think about it. And everyone, according to the time allotted to them, to think and learn more and more, the more I learn, the more it becomes mine, Zekeli, then Anivu, who becomes one. And that, of course, has so much more of an impact on my day-to-day actual behaviors.
Shkoyach, so in this first little capsule, Rabbi Tversky talked about on a daily basis, Hemanti Ki Adaber, speaking about Emunah. And Rabbi Silverberg is encouraging us, inviting us to learn and dwell each day in our thought and our machshava in the concept of Emunah. Let's segue to our next topic. Rabbi Silverberg, you'll lead off on the issue of tefillah. We know that in the Olam HaChassidus, there's a great emphasis which is placed on this aspect of our avodah, of our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the conversation that we call tefillah.
Yes, of course, tefillah is definitely at the very center of, really, of Yiddishkeit, of a Yid, and as emphasized tremendously in the teachings of Chassidus. I'll share a beautiful vart from the Balat Tanya. When we talk about tefillah from a halachic perspective, there's an interesting, great shaila and debate amongst the earliest, the greatest Rishonim. Is tefillah actually one of the mitzvahs of the Taryag? We know we have 613 mitzvahs. Everyone from the Gemara already, everyone agrees that there's 613 mitzvahs. But even though everyone agrees there's 613 mitzvahs, as the Gemara says, and that's not debated in the Gemara, but what exactly those 613 are and how we get to them, there is different machlekes in amongst what we call the Moineh HaMitzvahs, the Rambam, the Smag, and the other great, the Chinuch, the great Moineh HaMitzvahs. And one of the mitzvahs that there's this contention, this question about, is it one of the 613 mitzvahs Mideiraisa, or is it really a rabbinic or a bonandika responsibility, obligation? So Rambam famously says that tefillah is a mitzvah Mideiraisa. It's a mitzvah to daven every day. Yet the Ramban, Nachmanides, challenges the Rambam, And he says, no. He says, there's no mitzvah midiraisa to daven every day. It's the Rabbanon, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. And the place came and said, it's a big to-do. I mean, of course, obviously, we do a mitzvah, whether it's the Raisa or it's the Rabbana. But nevertheless, there are nafkaminas. There's halachic. This is not a time for halachic shiran tefillah. But it's a big machlekes. And if you look at the end, most poiskim, lepoil, most of the poiskim seem to side with the Ramban, that davening every day is a derabbana. The Rav and the Shulchan Aruch paskins that way. The Iker is like the Dasa Ramban. Shagas argues very strongly. The Iker is the Dasa Ramban, that tefillah is a mitzvah derabbana. So the Baal HaTanya asks in his Sefer Likutei Torah on the Parshas Balak that we just read, he asks, how could it be? How could it be that tefillah, the time of the day that we have the ability to talk to the Rabbeinu Shalom, more than any other time of the day, the tefillah, how it seems to be so central to everything. How could it be that that's only a derabbanan? It didn't make it to the Taryag. How is that shaykh? And could someone learn from this some level of lessening in the chashivus of tefillah? And he says such a powerful and such a beautiful verse. He says the following. We know we have 613 mitzvahs, 248 are positives. Resh mem ches mitzvahs ase. Why 248? So Chazal say that the resh mem ches mitzvahs are keneged, the resh mem ches evrei haguf. There's 248 limbs in our body, and the 248 mitzvahs, each one brings about the tikkun and the shlemus of one of the limbs of our body. Then there's the 365 negatives, and that's keneged Yemei Sachama, or it's keneged the Gidin. But let's talk about the 248. The mitzvahs, I say, the commandments, the positive commandments are keneged the 248 Evrei HaGuf. Okay, we know that. Most of us don't know what exactly are our 248 limbs of our body. If we take our body and start counting, we probably couldn't figure this out. What are the 248? But Chazal say, we accept. But there is a Mishnah Masechta Oholos, that goes through the human body and says, how many Avrim are there in every part? It doesn't exactly enumerate exactly where everything is. There's no pictures. Maybe our scroll has already, I don't know. But the Mishnah tells us how many, where the breakdown of 248. Says the Baal HaTanya, he says, there's one Aver that's curiously missing from that number. He says, you look at the human body, you look at the Mishnah, you do the math, you do the numbers, there's one part of the body that doesn't make it. It's not part of the 248. And what's that? He says, the Shedra, the spine. The spine is not mentioned as one of the 248. He says, how could that be? What's more important in the human body than the spine? Chas v'shalom, if there's a wound in the spine, the person is the Nabach, totally paralyzed. How could it be that the spine is not one of the 248? He says, the reason the spine is not one of the 248 is because the spine is not one of the 248. The spine is the highest of all the 248. What brings the messages from the brain to every single part of the body is the spine. That's why if there's a wound, chas v'shalom, in the spine, the person is lost. So if the spine is not one of the 248, it's because making it one of the 248 is lessening what the spine really is. The spine is the highest, is the energy, is the pneumius of all the 248. Says the Alter Rebbe, and the spine of mitzvahs is tefillah. So if the Ramban said, and if the halacha is that tefillah is not one of the 613, is not one of the 248, it's not because tefillah is less significant. To the very contrary, because that gives the chayas, that gives the energy and the pneumius of every mitzvah that we do and anything that we do the entire day. Because everything else that we do is more about the ma'aseh b'poel, doing it. You have to do, you have to put on the tefillin, and you have to do. And of course, every mitzvah has its kavana pratis, has the kavana, the details of the kavana of that mitzvah. But what's the time of the day that energizes our ruchnius, that energizes whatever we do beruchnius, that energizes our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's when a yid stands in front of their siddur and they daven to Hashem. And they let themselves go from everything else. Nothing else exists right now. It's the person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They express themselves, whether it's the Shvachim, whether it's the Bakoshes, whether it's the Hoidoyes, all the different parts of Tefillah. That's the time when we let ourselves go, so to speak, in our relationship and connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that time then, that time translates and brings the Kavana for all of the other mitzvahs and all the other parts of our day. And when we recognize that chashivos that there is the tefillah, so of course, the more effort, the more time we're able, and of course, everyone has different calendars and schedules and how much they're able. And if it's every day that one could daven properly, or once a week or twice a week, but whatever time invested is not just about the time of tefillah, but brings the chayis for everything that we're involved in every area of our avodas Hashem, which going back to earlier things that were said here, is really not limited only to mitzvahs, but to every single aspect of our life and every single aspect of our day.
Shikar, thank you. Rabbi Tversky?
Shikar, Rabbi Silverberg. Tefillah is probably the greatest privilege that a Yid has. The ability to speak to the Melech Malchei Hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the same time, usually with every privilege comes tremendous responsibility. And in as much as we spoke about Emunah, that one can fake it until you make it, Tefillah doesn't work that way. Tefillah, by definition, Chazal say, Tefillah is a service of the heart. It is not as the widely accepted definition of tefillah as service of the lips. That's not tefillah. Tefillah is service of the heart. Let's focus first on the privilege. We know that there are four types of creations mentioned in this forum: daimim, tzemeach, chayim, adavim. There are still objects such as stones. There is tzemeach, things that sprout, things that grow. There's chay, there's living creatures, and there's medaber. Medaber is the human, the speaking being. And the obvious question is, why are humans called medaber? Why aren't animals called medaber? Animals also speak. Shlomo HaMelech understood sichas chayes v'avos. He understood the language of animals and birds. So just because we don't understand them, they're not medaber? And does that make a Chinese not a medaber because I don't understand them? Why are we called a medaber? And the reason given is because a medaber is somebody who can speak to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. In the beginning of Bava Kama, there is a list of mazikim. What is Mava? Rav says in the Gemara, Rav says Mava is Adam. Why is Mava Adam? It comes from the word Boya, which means to daven. We're defined by our ability to daven. We're called a Medaber, we're called a Boya, because we have the ability to speak to the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. It defines who we are. That privilege is what sets us aside from everyone else, from all other creations of the world. The Ramon Yeridea says that one should not take a non-Jewess as a wet nurse for their child. And the source for this Ramah is Chazal that tell us that when Moshe Rabbeinu, when Basia, Bas Parai, took Moshe Rabbeinu out of the Nile, and she was looking for a wet nurse, he refused to nurse from any of the Gentile women until they went and brought Yecheved, his mother, and that's when he nursed. And Chazal say the reason is because also the Davar HaMashchina is because that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to speak to the Shechina. So you can't have a person who nursed from a non-Jew to then speak to the Shechem. So the kashi is obvious. So how does that? Why does that apply to every ordinary Jew? It should only. We understand how it applies to Moshe Rabbeinu because also the davar of Hashem. How does it apply to everyone else? So there's no one to be Yaakov Kamenetsky who once said that he's famous about that every mother needs to see their child as the next Moshe Rabbeinu. But I think it's Pashut. Every Yid is also the davar of Hashem. Every Yid speaks to the Rebbeinu Shlom at least three times a day. It's not that we have to hear him. We speak, each and every one of us, we speak to the Rebbeinu Shlom three times a day. Baal Shem Tov said that it's obvious that we don't understand what Baruch Atah means. Baruch Atah, when we say a bracha, Baruch Atah, blessed are you. He said, it's obvious that no one understands what Ata means because if you would understand what Ata means, we wouldn't be able to continue speaking. Can you believe it? We're talking to the Rebbeinu Shleilam, Balashan Noichach. We're talking to the Rebbeinu Shleilam directly, in second person. Baruch Ata. It's mind-boggling. What a privilege. What a schus. And Dafka, specifically because it's such a privilege. That's why the Zohar HaKadosh says, Shas Tzloisa Shas Krovim, that the time of davening is the time that we battle our Yetzirah. The Yetzirah puts up a fight. He doesn't want us to daven properly. And what he does is he just takes our heart out of it. And we end up just mumbling words without a heart. It's very known that the Baal Shem Tov was once visiting a village with his Talmidim. And the time came for davening, and they found the Smedrish that they had there in the basic Knesset in the city. And they were going to go there to daven. And Baal Shem Tov opened the door and immediately closed it and said, I can't daven here. There's no room. Too crowded. So the Chassidim went and peeked in. It was empty. They said, Rebbe, there's no one in there. Baal Shem Tov said that it says in the Zohar HaKadosh that tefillah, the davening without ahava and yira, without love and awe of the Rebbeinu Shleilam, loy parches la'ila, doesn't fly heaven. So what happens is all the tefillahs just stay in the room. He said there's years and years of tefillahs that are just, that are choking. They haven't gone anywhere. Ezu avoda shebalev zu tefila. Tefila has to be a service of the heart. And that takes us back to what we were talking about before, which is preparation. If we want our heart to be invested in davening, we don't fall out of bed into davening. It requires at least a few seconds. Preparation. And those few seconds need to focus on what we just spoke about the tremendous privilege that we have to speak to the Melech Malchei HaMelechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just to think about that, of puny me, a humble human being able to speak to the Melech Malchei HaMelechim, and that he listens to our tefillahs. Me goy godol asher lo yelekim krovim edom kashem alekeinu. That's a pasuk in the Torah. Who is such a great nation that has a God so close to them that he listens to us whenever we call out? We just need to think, all it takes is a few seconds and it changes the entire dam. So we need to enter tefillah with that, with a understanding the privilege, and yet understanding what tefillah is. That tefillah is avodah shebalev. Hamamti ki hadaber. It's not good. It's got to come out of it. It has to come from our heart.
So Rav Tversky, emphasizing the role of hachana for the tefillah, a few minutes practically in the morning before we start, or anytime we daven, recognizing this privilege to speak to Melech Malchem Lochem. Rav Silverberg reminding us that this experience of tefillah flows through and innervates all of the elements of our day. Bein Kodesh, Bein Chol, if there is such, there is a distinction, but as we were saying before, the Chol is mechuber to the Kodesh. The Chol also becomes Kodesh. The last couple of moments we have tonight, maybe each of you can reflect just on the idea of Talmud Torah through the lens of Chassidus. Rav Silverberg, B'chavad Gadol.
Yishukayach, Rabbi Tversky, Rabbi Bren. I just want to say again, because I feel that we're treating such weighty topics, each one of these, not only could each one of these been a whole shiur, but could be a whole segment of shiurim. And we're just doing tastes over here. So listen, tasting is also an inyan. Hopefully the taste is there to whet an appetite. On that note, you asked about Talmud Torah. Let me tell you one thought that comes to mind. Of course, Moshe Olo Lamorim, Moshe goes up to heaven and he learns the Torah from Hashem in Arboim Yoim, Arboim Laila, 40 days and 40 nights on Har Sinai. And he learns all the Torah, everything is ever. Kol Masha Talmud, Vosik, Osig, Luchadish, Akol Nitno, Lamoshe, Mesinai, as Chazal say. Whatever is going to come out later, whether it's the Rambam, whether it's Rashi, whether it's Shulchan Aruch, whether it's the Tur, anything, it's all there. Moshe learns it all in 40 days and 40 nights. So one would think that Hashem worked it out, figured it out perfectly, how much he's going to teach on the first day, how much on the second day, divided it into 40 equal parts, Mervena, you know, something like that, and learned every day a little bit, or you know, a little Shas, a little Poiskim, a little Chassidus, Halacha, Musar, Agoda. He taught it to him over a 40-day period. Says the Gemara, Peladiki Gemara Mesechna Nedarim, that that's not how it was. Rather, every day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu learned with Moshe Rabbeinu the entire Torah. And every day he forgot it. He forgot everything. And on the next day he learned again the entire Torah and he forgot it. Until the end of Arboim Yoim. Ad shenitna loy bimatona. Until it was given him the gift that he should be able to retain the Torah and give it over to Klal Yisrael. That's what the Gemara says. So it wasn't a 40-day process of learning 40 different halakim of Torah. Every day he learned everything. Every day he forgot everything. And then he was given the gift, and that's why it's called Matan Torah, the gift of Torah. The Kanha Ben Shoyel, why did Moshe Rabbeinu forget everything every day? We all know we forget some things, many things. We have Talmidim. We hope they don't forget, but everything? And we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. We're talking about Aviyam Shal Kol HaNeviyam. We're talking about Moshe Kibol Torah, Misina Zichru Torah, Moshe Avdi, the greatest year that ever lived, will ever live. Why did he forget everything every day? And what was the message? Why did he have to go through that? What's the message that the Gemara is telling us? And the answer that's given, one of the answers that's given, is that Moshe Rabbeinu was learning something very, very important. And that is that when we learn Torah, whatever part of Torah we're learning, we're not just learning a nice concept, a nice idea, a Gemara, a Daf and Gemara, Halach and Shulchan Aruch, whatever it is that we're learning. Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that the first word of the Aseres HaDibros we know is Anoichi. Says the Gemara, what does Anoichi stand for? We know Anoichi means I. Anoichi Hashem Alekach, I am Hashem, says the Gemara. Anoichi is a Neutrikun, as a Rosh Hatevis, an acronym. Ano Nafshi Ksovis Yehovis. I, my essence, in my writings, have given myself over. That's the first word of the Aseres HaDibros. Hashem says, my very essence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Malach Malchim, Lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has given himself over in these words, in these writings. So when a Yid grasps any idea in Torah, whatever part of Torah, when they're grasping Torah and they think, well, I just picked up a nice idea. I picked up something much greater than a nice idea. I brought Hashem himself into me, into my mind, and into my heart. And as famously the Tanya writes, V'hu yichud nifla. This is the ultimate wondrous union, she'in yichud kamoyu v'loike erkoi nimso klau, liyois la'chodim mamesh mikol tzadupina. The ultimate union that Hashem enables us to become, to bring Him into ourselves and make that part of us. We mentioned earlier the words of David HaMelech in Tehillim, it's like food that becomes part of me, part of my mind. That's the gift of Torah. And that gift, the human mind cannot comprehend, because the human mind is limited. We're finite, and Hashem is infinite. Hashem is unlimited. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was learning on Har Sinai. That even the greatest human mind, even Moshe Rabbeinu, once Hashem said, Anoichi, Hashem said, I'm giving myself into these words, even Moshe Rabbeinu's mind can't hold on to it. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, as much as Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Rabbeinu, he's a Basar Vadam. He's finite, and Hashem is infinite. Hashem says, but I'm going to give you, and by nature of giving it to you, I'm going to give it to every yid and every child of Klal Yisrael, the ability to grasp, to bring into their minds myself. Zohar HaKadosh says, V'yikhu li truma. Truma, says the Zohar, is the word Torah, mem. The Torah given in 40 days. V'yikhu li. You're taking me, says Hashem, when you take Torah into your minds. So we were talking before about tefillah, and Rabbi Tversky was talking about the tremendous zechus and ability that we have to talk to Hashem. Amazing. And when we learn Torah, Hashem is talking to us. In davening, we express and we talk, and davening is so powerful in affecting us in our entire day and as the things we spoke earlier. But in Torah, we're quiet. I take that back. We're not quiet. We verbalize the words. But it's really Hashem is talking to us, and Hashem is allowing himself become part of us, the ultimate gift of Torah. And that's why Torah, Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam, and that's why Torah has this tremendous ability of connecting us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we think about that, we have to recognize the Kedusha HaTorah and the specialty. I'll finish with one idea. The Gemara says, Mepnei Ma'av Da Ha'aretz. We're talking about it in the 3 weeks as we started tonight. And it's a time we mourn the destruction. And the Gemara says, Mepnei Ma'av Da Ha'aretz Mepnei Shalei Baruchu Ba'Torah Tchila. Why was the Eretz Yisrael destroyed? Because they didn't make the bracha of Birchas HaTorah. And it's an odd statement. First of all, since when is not making a bracha the end of the world? The bracha is Derabbanan. And Dafke, they didn't make Birchas HaTorah. What do they have against Birchas HaTorah? And the Bach says on the tour, he says, the Yidden didn't recognize the Kedusha HaTorah. They learned Torah. They learned it. They understood it. It's beautiful. It's magnificent to learn a person's master's parts of Torah. It's amazing. But to remember every moment the Kedusha of the Torah, the Ananafshik Yehovah of the Torah, then we treat it differently, we respect it differently, and understand the tremendous privilege that we have every day when we're able to open a sefer, any sefer, and learn part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah and make that part of ourselves and be misyachid with Hashem with this yichud niflo.
Shekoyach, Rabbi Tversky, last word is yours.
Thank you very much. Shekoyach, Rabbi Silverberg. I'd like to, first of all, reiterate what Rabbi Silverberg said just in a few words, and that is that the main, we're talking about the perspective of Hasidus on Limud HaTorah, and it's well known that that Hasidus, the Hasidus Sfarim, the Hasidus leaders, put a tremendous emphasis on the idea of Dveikus, that Torah, that the idea of Limud HaTorah, the idea of Torah learning is to achieve Dveikus Bashem. And as Rabbi Silverberg mentioned, the Baal Tanya says that there is no greater form of Dveikus than Torah learning. There no other mitzvah, nothing else can bring a person to the sense of Dveikus, of connection to Hashem, like Torah learning. And obviously, that's when Torah learning is done with that purpose in mind. I'm learning Torah just to connect to Hashem. I once mentioned by a bar mitzvah that we find, you know, everyone asked the question why a bar mitzvah is called a bar mitzvah, not a bal mitzvah. Bar mitzvah means a son of a mitzvah instead of. If somebody does an Aveira, he's called a Baal Aveira. And so when he does a mitzvah, so why is a bar mitzvah called a bar mitzvah? And I suggested that we find that the word bar has four definitions that seem not to be related to each other at all. One is bar means a child, son. So bar mitzvah would mean a son of a mitzvah. The word bar in Aramaic means outside. As opposed to legam. There's legam and labar, inside and outside. Bar means outside, external. Braisa. Braisa means that was learned outside of the Beis Medrash. It was called Braisa. There's another word for bar, which grain. Grain is called bar. And then bar is also means purity. The Pasuk says bar leva. Bar leva means somebody who has a pure heart. So what do these four definitions have to do with mitzvah? And I suggested that when a child reaches the age of 13, where he becomes somebody who's now obligated, becomes part of becomes an Eved Hashem, we want to teach him four lessons of what Torah is about. Number one is that you need to realize, this is another topic that is emphasized very much by the Svarim HaKadoshim, is that the Torah that we have is a physicalized Torah. The Torah is in its origin, in its source, is totally spiritual. Something that is way beyond anything that we can grasp. That's why the angels wanted the Torah. How can the angels want Torah? It's all physical. About the axe, gourd, how is that relevant to angels? The Torah in its source is very, very spiritual. But the Rebbeinu Shlomo wanted us human beings to be able to grasp it. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo physicalized it so that we should be able to connect to him on our level. So we need to bear in mind that the Torah HaKadosh that we learn is much, much more spiritual than anything that we'll ever grasp. And that's represented by bar. It's what we're learning is the chitzonius haTorah. It's the externality of the Torah. And we have to be aware of that. We have to be aware that what we're learning is external, and by learning that, we are connecting ourselves to what is internal. We're connecting to the Rebbeinu Shlomo himself. Another message is bar, which is grain, and that is what Chazal tell us, im ein kemach, ein toir. And the depth of what Chazal are telling us, it usually interpreted to mean, if you don't have parnasa, you can't learn. But there's a much, much greater depth. And that is that if somebody doesn't approach Torah as if it's their bread and butter, then it's not Torah. If Torah is not your kemach, if you don't understand that Torah is giving you your chiyus, Torah is giving you your spiritual energy. And without that, your soul remains hungry. Then if you're just learning Torah as something you got to do every day, as a mitzvah like any other mitzvah, or just something that I have to pacify the Rebbeinu Shlomo, that's not Torah. Torah, you need to understand that Torah is part of us. It is something that gives us our chiz. It's our bread and butter. Im ein kemach, in Torah. If it's not your kemach, then it's not Torah. So that's bar. Torah is your grain. Torah is what your spiritual life depends on. Third thing is, bar means a child, which indicates to us that Torah has been transmitted to us generation after generation, all the way to our sin. We can't make up the way we perform Torah, the way we observe Torah, or the way we learn Torah. It's been transmitted to us. There's a mahalach. There's an approach that has been handed down to us, father, the child, the Rebbe, the Talmud, from Moshe Messina. None of us is a Baal. None of us is a Baal to be able to decide that we've got a new approach. the Torah has to be learned in a manner of that the way it was handed down to us, dor achad dor, generation. And finally, and last but not least, bar means purity. The Torah, if it's learned the right way, purifies us. It refines our character. The Maranayim classic Chassidish Sefer asks, why is it that we find that Lamedim, we find that people learn Torah don't have good midot? And he says, because they don't learn Torah Lishma. They're not learning Torah for the right reason. They're learning Torah as an academic pursuit. That's not Torah. Torah that is learned for the purpose of connecting to the Divine Shalom has an impact on a person, and the person becomes a refined person. This part of Limud HaTorah is according to the Chassidish Sfarim, is integral. It is part and parcel of Limud HaTorah. This is what Limud HaTorah is about. The Dvekus Bashem, it has to be something that we feel is we cannot do without. And that it has to be the type of Torah that will refine our character.
Yashar Koach Gadol, thank you to Rabbi Twersky, thank you to Rabbi Silberberg for such incredible, inspiring thoughts on Emunah, on Tefillah, on Talmud Torah, and ultimately on Chassidus, on the presence of the Rabbono Shel Olam in our lives through all of these avenues. What a zchus for me to spend the evening with you, for our kolol to host you, and for our community to be blessed with you. Sei gesund, thank you all for coming. Thank you to everyone for joining us this evening. Looking forward to sharing much more Torah together. As Ray Silverberg said before, this is just a taste. So halavai, we will all be zocha to continue to find opportunities to learn together. Thank you all for coming.